From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in, as today we commence looking at a very famous passage of Scripture. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and it is the passage that describes the visit of Gabriel the angel to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's an important passage for many reasons, but we're going to look at it in a very straightforward and devotional manner. We're going to think upon the blessing of believing God. So that's our theme for this week. I trust you'll stay with us as we look into God's Word today. First, however, we start with our daily devotional Bible reading, the Holy Temple, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. In whom, that is in Christ, all the building, fitly framed together, groweth to an holy temple in the Lord. The temple to Diana in Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was a huge structure, some 425 feet long and 225 feet wide. Travelers came from all over the world to worship the idol Diana. And this gave the citizens of the city of Ephesus reason to boast. But Paul here speaks to the Ephesians of a temple that is greater in splendor than the temple of Diana in Ephesus, a temple, by the way, that was destroyed forever in AD 263. Even the angelic host take interest in the temple that Paul is speaking of, according to Ephesians 3:10. This temple is not a building of bricks and mortar, but it is a living and growing edifice, for its chief cornerstone is the living Christ. It doesn't merely house a few hundred people at a time, but it's made up of the multitudes of believers throughout all the ages. Its boundaries stretch well beyond the city limits of Ephesus, and the living God, not some lifeless image, inhabits it. One of the greatest characteristics of the temple of the Lord is that it is holy. Again, Paul's not speaking of a physical building, but of the people of God. How often people labor to make a meeting house spotless for the day of worship, and yet they neglect to prepare the true temple. Brethren, we are the temple of the Lord. We ought to be clothed in the beauties of holiness. If the world can look at us and see nothing of the character of Christ, then we must ask ourselves, what part have we in the temple of the Lord? To be secure in Christ is not an excuse for worldliness. Yes, when properly understood and believed, our union with Christ is, in fact, the best motivation possible for a true holiness. I trust that as people who are part of the holy temple that Christ has built and that is fitly framed together in Him, we will adorn our profession with a life that is set apart for the use of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our thought for the day comes from Joseph Hall, an old-time preacher of some character and great blessing. He said, "There is no place for any loose stone in God's edifice."
Thank you.
last couple of weeks here in Let the Bible Speak, we have been bringing to your attention a special offer of our 2007 Let the Bible Speak calendar. Actually, a few ministries get together and produce a calendar that I think people will like and will have the effect of bringing the ministry before the people of God so that they may pray for it. This calendar features scripture from day to day. It also is something good to put in the hands of those who are not saved because it contains a simple statement of the Lord's way of salvation. It is something that will encourage you to pray and hold this ministry before the Lord. It's also pleasing to the eye. We have some beautiful scenes from the northern part of Ireland. And as many of you will know, Let the Bible Speak is a ministry that commenced in Northern Ireland in 1973, and since then has been broadcasting the gospel to literally millions of people around the world. The Way of Life calendar is available to you free of charge. We would like to have the privilege of sending you your copy. All you've got to do is request it. You may write to us, email us, or call us toll free. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address, ltbs@freepres.org. And you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. That is 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you, and I'm sure that you will enjoy using our Words of Life calendar that we'll bring to you for a prayer request week by week, day by day, the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. Turning today to Luke's Gospel chapter 1, and we're going to read the passage starting at verse 26, reading through to verse 45. So let's pay attention to what the Lord says here in his word, that in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Let me just stop there for a minute as I read the Bible reading. I'll come back to the reading in just a moment. But since this is not actually part of the message, I think it should be noted on the way through. One of the great failures of the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible that led to some of the worst and most superstitious elements in Roman Catholic theology was to be found just here, when that translation made the angel Gabriel address Mary as the one who was full of grace, instead of the one who was greatly graced or graciously accepted. Later on in verse 30, thou hast found favour with God. She found grace. God extended grace to her. She was not the fountain of grace. So many people around the world are praying to Mary as if she had grace to dole out. Mary is not a fountain of grace. She was the recipient of grace. And she rejoiced in that. And we rejoice with her. She was a wonderful, wonderful young lady. In my opinion, the greatest woman to grace the pages of Scripture. But she was a sinner who needed to be saved. And she rejoiced in God her Savior, as we'll see as we go on in the Word of God. But I think that's worth noting that Mary is not the fountain from which we receive grace. She was a person who herself needed to receive grace and was highly favored or graciously or much accepted by the Lord. Now verse 29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. I want us to think this week on this wonderful statement that was given to Mary in verse 45 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It would be a great mistake to imagine that the appearance and message of the angel Gabriel did not deeply perplex Mary. It would equally be a mistake to think that her response to this message was something easy for her. Mary did not operate in some sphere where the feelings and fears common to us all could not touch her. No, she was a real person, and she was utterly amazed at what the angel Gabriel said to her. We may gather that her first action, or should I say her first reaction to the angel's message, was fear. We read that she was troubled. We read the angel's command to her to fear not. So we know that her first reaction, her first feeling, when the angel appeared to her and began to speak to her, was one of fear. You see, what the angel promised was something naturally impossible. Mary knew that. She knew that she was a virgin. She knew that she was not having any intimate relations with any man. She was espoused to Joseph, evidently a man who was somewhat older than her, but she was strict according to the morality of the law of God, and that espousal had not led to any improper intimate relations between them. She said, "I know not a man. I have no personal intimate relations with a man. How then can I be the mother of a child?" She knew that what the angel said was naturally impossible. But Mary also knew her God. And that is very, very vital. So that when he said he would do what human reason pronounced impossible, what human experience hitherto throughout the entire history of the world pronounced impossible, when she heard him say he would do this, even though she didn't understand all that was involved, she believed God. And she yielded herself to be the willing instrument of God's purpose. Now, it's very easy to say that, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. Here's a young woman, probably still a teenager, a young woman of vital godliness. The angel promises her something that is physically, humanly, biologically impossible. But she knows God is able to do whatever he wills, and what he wills is good and right. She was not a fool. She knew that for her to have a child in her state as an unmarried woman would make her the offscouring of all flesh to many. It would make her an object of ridicule, and that actually has happened even over the centuries, with some professedly Christian theologians even making her to be a young woman who had held illicit sexual relations, and some of them will even say it was with a German who was serving in the Roman army. This coming from so-called Christian theologians. Mary knew that evil men would say evil things about her. She didn't know the hard path that lay ahead of her, but she did know her God, and so she believed him, and she yielded herself to be the instrument of his purpose. And therein lies the greatness of the woman we call the Virgin Mary. Therein lies Mary's greatness. She believed God. In many ways, she was an ordinary girl, with all the limitations of her time and her place in history. But what made Mary extraordinary was her faith. She believed God. Her cousin Elizabeth recognized that, and that's why she spoke this word in Luke chapter 1 verse 45. Blessed is she that believed, speaking of Mary. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of or by the Lord. You see, to Elizabeth, Mary appeared to be the very embodiment of faith. Now think of that. Mary, to Elizabeth, was the greatest example of believing God that she could conceive. And that's saying something. You see, Elizabeth was married to Zechariah, the priest, a man of eminent holiness and spiritual attainment. But God had appeared to Zechariah through an angel. He had told him that his wife, who was old and past childbearing years, would bear a son in answer to the prayers that both of them for many years previously had put up to the Lord. Now, Zechariah knew that physically this was impossible, for Elizabeth was beyond that time when she could expect to bear children. And Zechariah, that eminent man of God, stumbled through unbelief when God gave him a promise. A promise that, by the way, was much less challenging to faith than the one that he sent to Mary. Now, Elizabeth had seen Zechariah, the mighty man of God, stumble at a promise that challenged his faith. And yet here was this young woman given a greater challenge to faith, and she utterly, implicitly, and totally believed God. I don't think I'm going too far when I say that I doubt if there is a greater example in all of history of perfect trust in God, coupled with such self-devotion to God and His purpose, as we find here in the Virgin Mary. We're going to be studying this week her faith and the blessing of believing God day by day here on Let the Bible Speak. And it is my prayer that as we look into the Word of God together, the Lord will use the example and what we learn of this young woman's trust in God to stir faith in all of us who name His name, faced with various challenges day by day, to take God at His Word, and when God says something, to know that He means it, and He will do exactly what He has promised to perform. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.